Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, that's for sure. Tensions are definitely rising. Hour number three. By the way, a little birdie told me yes. Happy early birthday, Cowboy B.
Is there?
Tomorrow?
Is there?
How old? 25.
It's 52.
You got a problem with 52-year-olds?
No.
Hey, some idiot on Twitter, at Profit VIPs, whatever that means, with the subhandle of Profit Bets, which I'm sure he's made absolutely no money and lost probably about $500,000 with all of his stupid opinions, told me, you need to retire, big dog. You are unbearable to listen to. How do you think I handled that?
Blocked.
Nope, not yet.
Okay,
that's coming. Probably. Nope. I answered it with four smiling face emojis and laughing emojis, and I said, "I'm sorry. Who are you, and why would I give an F what you and your sharks care about?" That's how I handled that. I don't know if it was the right way to handle it, but that's how I handled it. Happy birthday, Cowboy B.
Thank you. Happy early birthday. That was the right way to handle that.
You think so?
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe I'm not the best influence, but.
Well, you know, I'm sure Profit Bets has made no profits. Because you can't be that dumb. You can't be that dumb and have that bad taste in radio and actually make any money doing whatever it is that you're trying to propagate. You just can't. So happy early birthday, my friend.
Thank you.
Do you think we should have a little birthday celebration for you tomorrow?
If you want, I'm not a real party guy or anything like that.
This man's lying.
What is it that? So if somebody out there were to want to celebrate your birthday and recognize and honor your impact to this radio station, how would one celebrate that?
Money.
You act like we have a budget over here. That's it?
I don't know.
I mean, if somebody were to say, "Hey, man, would you like a cake? Would you like lunch? Would you like cookies?
Well,
would you like ice cream?"
Max is treating me to our weekly bagel. He said it's on him this week and for the occasion, so... No, I appreciate it.
So maybe I might have to negotiate with Max. Maybe.
You got to send your orders in. You got to put it in early so Max can go get it.
Okay, but if somebody said, "Hey, man, I'd like to bake you a cake for your birthday," you would say no?
Of course not.
So I'm going to ask this again. What kind of cake would you like?
Vanilla. I'm a very vanilla Yeah.
Well, that's obvious.
Thanks. Wait, was that racially charged?
No. you're a dope. God, this show is just an absolute clown show. Just an absolute mess.
No, vanilla cake, though.
Vanilla cake with vanilla frosting?
Long as this frosting just has to be good. I hate, like... You know, like the frosting, you can taste the dye in it, the food color in it is the worst.
Well, how do I know that? How do I know that?
How do you know that?
Yeah.
It's usually like darker frosting that tastes like that.
Okay. I'll try and do my best to avoid darker white frosting.
No, just darker colored frosting. White frosting is usually safe.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So ideally, if someone were to get you a white vanilla cake with white frosting, that would be to your desire.
Yes.
Okay. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
I'm very sorry about Marshawn Nealon.
It's very unfortunate. Very unfortunate.
Terrible. Terrible. And that, obviously.
Check on your peoples.
Yeah, exactly. We will have some fun tomorrow to celebrate the great Cowboy B and his 25th year of birth. Anyway, AMAC is not going to be with us tomorrow. So we, as a result, had to put the Cowboy B stock report on a different day because we just couldn't do it today because of the obvious that's happened. But don't fear, boys and girls. It's time for all things AMAC. That's right. All things that matter to AMAC. Oh, I'm sorry. Anthony McBarnett. I don't know if I can call you AMAC anymore because that's a cool nickname. And what you did to the radio show was uncool.
Yeah, I hurt your feelings.
You just sabotaged the radio show.
Yeah.
You just took over. Oh, oh, wait, I hear the music. All things AMAC. Little college football and then the Gigantes. What's going on, AMAC?
Not much, Rooster. Did you happen to see the college football playoff rankings?
I did. I did indeed.
Yeah.
I even though I don't talk about everything,
mm-hmm.
I did take a look-see and I saw Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
Numero uno.
Number one with Indiana right
breathing down
them.
Their neck.
Yeah.
And they said Indiana was very worthy contender for the number one spot, but they felt Ohio State was just a little bit better.
Yeah. And Texas climbed all the way up to 11.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
so
Texas Tech is number three, right?
Texas Tech is eight.
Number eight.
Yes.
Why was I – oh, is it Texas A&M?
Texas A&M is three.
There you go.
Undefeated. I was
getting the East Texases and West Texases.
I mean, there's
and
so
A&M's
many of them.
And,
yeah. There's like 15
Very
schools
many.
In Texas.
Too many.
Yeah. But Texas Tech is playing a big top 10 matchup, the only top 10 matchup of the week. They're playing against BYU, which is I think is going to be an interesting game because as we look at the college football playoff, last year the Big 12 got one team in Arizona State. My boy Scataboo was there, played against Texas, played them down to the wire.
Played great.
Yeah. So if this could have big implications on which team from the Big 12. From the Big 12. Forgot to stop the music there.
I was going to say, what are you doing over there?
From the Big 12. If one team from the Big 12 mm-hmm. gets into the college football playoff, it could be the winner of this game. Now,
so essentially, not definitively, but essentially, this is a play-in game, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes. This is a play-in game.
And this is in Lubbock.
Yes, it's in, Texas Tech is home.
Right.
Yes.
In Lubbock, 7-8, noon on ABC. I assume that'll be the main national game on ABC. 8-1 Texas Tech Red Raiders, 5-1 in the Big 12, 8-0 BYU off the win against Utah last Saturday night.
Yeah. Big win for BYU there. But I want to go back to the college football playoff because I want to get your perspective on this.
Mm-hmm.
So Notre Dame played Miami. This is I want to jump back just a little bit further.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any problem with the college football playoff initial rankings except mm-hmm. for this. Everything else seemed fine, seemed dandy. Miami, I believe, came in at 14th.
Miami of Florida. Yeah, yes. Miami came in 18th in
18th.
The initial college football rankings.
Yes, they're at 18th. And then sitting at 10 and making, if the college football playoff mm-hmm. was to start today.
Notre Dame. Yeah. And I know the point that you're about to make.
Yes. Miami beat them in a head-to-head early in the season.
All right. So you're asking me how we should process that?
How do you feel about that? Because, and before you go, a lot of people because we talked to, Heather Denich mm-hmm. earlier this week. We talked to Nicole Auerbach.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the consensus, and at least from the people that I've heard within college football, the consensus is that that was early in the year.
Mm-hmm.
And Miami has two bad losses. They're coming off of two bad losses with SMU and I believe it was Louisville.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Not only was it early in the year, but it was on the road in Miami, one, where it's hot and humid Labor Day weekend. They lost 27-24. Then they followed that up, did Notre Dame, with a second consecutive loss. This one at home to now 16th-ranked Texas A&M. We were just talking about them, 41-40. Okay? So they've lost two games by a combined 4 points. Miami, okay, and this is the problem with Mario Cristobal. And listen, I grew up a Miami fan. I did. I will tell you, when everybody, like, I'm so old, like, it was Boomer Sooner, Nebraska Red, and Miami were like jockeying for the top spot in college football in the 80s.
Yeah.
I was attracted to Miami because they were bad boys. They were renegades. They were fun, what have you. Miami has been anything but that over the last couple of years, including last year. And while everybody blames it on Mario Cristobal, here's how I process it.
Mm-hmm.
You lose to Louisville, a good program, on at home by three, and then you lose in overtime to SMU. If you net it, right, technically you've lost by more combined points than Notre Dame. Technically, you have played an easier schedule, including disappointing Florida State, disappointing Florida, of course, Bethune, whatever, disappointing Stanford. The games that you had to win to kind of separate yourself, similar to last year when they lost down the stretch at Georgia Tech.
But pull up Notre Dame's schedule, though.
I just did.
Yeah, all of their teams, their best win is USC.
Yeah.
Who's also disappointing.
I understand that, but they've also, again, they lost to Miami on the road by 3 points, by Texas A&M at home by 1 point, and to your point, right, they hammered Purdue. They suck. They hammered Arkansas. They can score,
yeah,
but they suck. Boise State was their best win probably against a good team, and Boise State has had some issues this year. NC State at home, again, unranked. And USC, as you mentioned. And USC, I understand USC is not like what we are used to associate with USC, but they're still a 20th ranked overall team, and it is a rivalry game, and you punk them by 10. And that game probably could have been worse. And then you beat Boston College. Okay, whatever. Bill O'Brien is really struggling at BC. Listen, I'm not telling you Notre Dame is great by any means. Maybe the difference, and I'm stealing your segment here, maybe the difference is they shouldn't have been, one shouldn't have been 10 and one shouldn't have been 18.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing for me. Because one, I think there's a lot of talk in college football, like going into the season, of the SEC should get more attention. The SEC should get more benefit of the doubt, because if you remember last year, Alabama, Ole Miss, and South Carolina were held out with three losses, and Indiana got into the playoff, and SMU got into the playoff with one loss apiece, and the SEC was looking at it like, we're playing tougher schedules, we're in a tougher conference. My thing is, if we have head-to-heads, reward teams for winning head-to-head matchups, because that's what we want to see more of in the college football playoff, with conferences like the SEC and the Big Ten saying, we're tougher conferences, we should be given benefit of the doubt. If they play these head-to-heads and you're not going to reward the winners of the head-to-head, like let's say Miami goes and beats Ohio State in the beginning of the year, but then has two bad losses in the end of the year. They finish with, they have the same record too. Like, this isn't like Notre Dame has one more win, or they're the same record. Notre Dame won the head to, I mean, Miami won the head to head against Notre Dame. I don't understand why we're putting other metrics, and it's not just you, because a lot of people are screaming the same sentiments that you are. Why are we using metrics when we have a head to head to point to?
It's a more than fair point, and I can't tell you you're crazy or wrong for thinking about that, especially, again, when you look at both teams being 6-2. You can make an argument that Miami's schedule little bit easier than Notre Dame's. But to your point, it's not like Notre Dame is playing Goliaths in college football to get to six. They're 6-2.
I don't even know if they're playing. Like, Florida beat Texas.
Right.
Florida State beat Alabama. Like, these are formidable opponents
But overall, disappointing teams.
Yeah.
I understand that.
It's not like Notre Dame's schedule is a lot easier, and their schedule, the toughest games, they lost.
Here's the other thing that you're discounting, okay? And Golden Domers would say, not a chance, this ain't right. There is a Cowboys-like bias.
Oh, yes.
There is a absolute die-in-the-wool thirst to favor Notre Dame over anyone else, period, whenever it's reasonable.
And
they're not only favored over Miami with the same record, even though Miami beat them head-to-head, but they're also favored over 7-2 Texas, 7-2 Oklahoma, 7-2 Utah, 8-1 Virginia.
Yeah.
7-1 Louisville, 7-2 Vanderbilt, 8-1 Georgia Tech. There's no chance Notre Dame is better than Miami and all seven of those schools that I just mentioned.
Yeah.
So to me, I think we solved this, right? And I was kind of waiting for the crescendo. I think we solved this. They have a hankering for Notre Dame to be as high as they can because they know that Notre Dame brings eyeballs, and Notre Dame brings money, and Notre Dame brings cachet, and Notre Dame brings things that no other school, no other program, including Ohio State, brings.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Period.
I agree. But with that being said, I think it would be interesting to see if Miami can climb back into it, because if Miami wins out and Notre Dame wins out, I think Miami right now is fourth in the ACC standing. So I think their best chance to get into the college football playoff is to win
the ACC.
Yeah,
right?
To get into that ACC champ, at least get into the ACC championship game. Yeah, if they lose it,
the ACC championship game, a third loss probably not going to be considered.
So they have to win
playoff
that.
Worthy unless a bunch of other things happen, right?
Yeah. So they
but
have
if you
to
win the
there
ACC
win
championship game, even if you stumble somewhere else along the way and somehow got a third loss, but still wound up in the ACC championship game and then won that game, right? Aren't you in?
Yeah, as the ACC winner, yeah, because
the automatic winner, right?
Yeah, every conference gets an automatic spot in the college football playoff. Right.
Okay, I know we're running behind here. Is there any other game that catches your eye? I mean, Penn State, Indiana, in Happy Valley, Ohio State, Purdue. I don't know how that could
get anybody more.
To me, Navy, Notre Dame has some interest because we were just talking about Notre Dame. Navy now with one loss, how do they rebound from that? And can they keep their outside unlikely chances at a college football playoff bid?
Yeah, alive? I think Oregon, Iowa is an interesting one. After the Indiana-Illinois game, Coach Kirk Cignetti said that Iowa would be a tougher test for Indiana than Illinois, who was ranked at that time, and Indiana just whooped Illinois. Mm-hmm. And Indiana went on to win that game, but it was only by 3 points, which was kind of like eyebrow-raising. Like, what does Kirk Cignetti know? Because they just scored 60 on Illinois, it felt like, and then come back and only put up 13 points, I believe it was, against Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
So Iowa seems to have a team this year and a more formidable quarterback in Mark Gronowski, who kind of propels this team to lift them up, because historically Iowa just hasn't had an offense and has terrible quarterback play. I don't think Iowa is going to win this game. The line is set at 6.5. I think that is an interesting line just based off how Iowa has played historically, but we'll see. That's an interesting game.
I see that game being closer than the 6.5. I don't know if Iowa wins, but like you said about the quarterback, and again, you know, Oregon on the road, we saw them struggle to expose and to ultimately get by Penn State, right? Now, Penn State at the time was a really good team.
Yeah.
And they quickly collapsed from there.
Yeah.
So, maybe Oregon, going into a hostile environment, maybe they struggle a little bit. in Iowa City on Saturday at 3:30. All right, we're going to have to end it there because we're going to have to take a break. All things AMAC, my guy. I know I gave you a hard time, but I really do like working with you. I have a lot of fun doing the radio show with you. I like to poke the bear every now and then. I like to incite the natives and maybe get your parents mad at me, but I like doing radio with you. I like having fun. Are we good? All right.
Oh, we're fine.
Joe Beninati coming up in just a couple of minutes. He was on the call for Alex Ovechkin's 900th last night from Monumental. He'll join us, Joe B, in just a couple of moments on the Team 980.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Send in Wilson on the flank. Cross ice. Ovechkin fires. Score! The chasing days are done. Alex Ovechkin is the greatest goal scorer in the history of the NHL.
All right, that was Joe Beninati, as you've heard a million times. Not last night, but of course from last April at UBS Arena. I was right in front of Joe B as he made that historic call for 895. But last night, Alex Ovechkin, goal number 900 in a Big Caps win over the St. Louis Blues. Tonight, they're in Pittsburgh for Sidney Crosby and the Penguins. And quite honestly, who knows how many of these matchups we're going to get. And Joe B joins us nice enough to give us some time from the Berg as the Capitals kick off this four-game road trip. Joe, thank you so much for your time, as always. Great job last night, you and Locker, as always, and so glad to have you aboard.
Rooster, same here. It's chilly in the Berg, but at least the Caps landed and made the way into the Steel City in a good mood. They needed that second period in particular. Yeah. That explosion really helps build some confidence heading into another one of these key Washington-Pittsburgh matchups. And you're right, when you think about it, going back to 2005, 2006, how many times the Penguins and Capitals, Crosby and Ovechkin, have butted heads, and you don't know how many more you're going to get, so savor every one of them.
No doubt about it. Before we get there, last night, you mentioned the second period, the outburst. You know, they got it going early with Tom Wilson. It's hard to say he hasn't been their best player. I mean, overall, I think he has been, right?
Other than Logan Thompson.
Fair. Good qualification. I should say best position player, I guess.
Absolutely.
But to get that, now St. Louis came in, they had the big win over Edmonton on Monday, but that I think broke a 6 or 7 game streak, Joe. What did last night tell us about the Capitals as they struggle for scoring, struggle to get going on the power play, embark on this 4-game road trip? What did it tell us, or what do we know now that maybe we didn't know 24 hours ago?
Chris, you would have been worried if the Caps didn't do the offensive job they did against St. Louis last night, because a lot of the telltale signs have been there about the Blues this fall. For whatever reason, they've sprung a leak defensively. They've given up 5 or more goals, I want to say, in 7 of their 14 games. They've lost by 3 or more. I want to say all of their regulation losses have been, it's upwards of 80% of their regulation losses have been incredibly one-sided. So even with the Caps struggling to score goals, it was in their favor to do an offensive job that they needed to, mm-hmm. not only for their own well-being and a sense of confidence, but also to prove a point that, okay, you're there to take advantage of certain teams. That was one you can take advantage of. If you didn't, we would all be putting our hands through our hair going, what in the world's wrong with this offense? At least when they were supposed to flourish when you could have projected them to flourish. They did last night and got it from a variety of sources. That's another good thing heading into a big matchup with Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and I guess the one thing I wanted to double down on you and get your pulse is, you know, you score six goals and, okay, the Blues are the Blues, but Jordan Binnington, obviously a very successful goaltender throughout his career, but, you know, team struggle, what have you. The thing that I guess I was most encouraged by is getting the early power play marker from Tommy, as we mentioned, because the power play unit has been struggling. But to get five other goals after that, including Ovechkin's 900, and we'll touch on that in a sec, it's not like, okay, they only got, you know, goals because of the power play, and that was clicking for one. So I guess they were able to get it not only one on the power play, five at even strength, but get it. Get Ovechkin a goal, get Tom Wilson a couple goals, get Beauvillier on track. Beauvillier hadn't scored since that Sunday night at Madison Square Garden where he deflected that one shot in a 1-0 game. Get John Carlson involved. So to me, I guess it was a, I don't know, lack of a better term, a good team all-around effort. Is that the way you kind of process it?
Absolutely. And it's funny, it's such a strange sport at times because you point to Beauvillier prior to last night, the one-game winner at Madison Square Garden. But I could tell you in the last two or three games where the Capitals haven't been winning, he's been one of their most noticeable players.
Yeah,
he's the guy who's around it close enough to it, and nice to see him get rewarded for it last night. Jacob Chychrun is an amazing driver of the offense. When he's going, he is such an incredible threat on his own. He can create for others. Now we're seeing more and more Kirk Muller and Spencer Carberry adding Chychrun into the power play. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see him be more of a shooter on the power play. I think he can be the left-handed version of Ovechkin.
I agree.
And you have a double-barrel approach to it. And they're working through that. They're just trying to be less predictable. That power play, which was so prolific for so long, doesn't have TJ Oshie anymore, doesn't have Nicklas Backstrom anymore, doesn't have Yevgeny Kuznetsov anymore. Those are excuses, I know, but when you make that kind of change in personnel, it takes a while to stick. Tom Wilson has been an incredible driver of offense in front of the goal. He's obviously big enough to stand there and take the beating and then get the rebounds and deflections and score in the way he has. Dylan Strom is a tremendous playmaker. He has great vision. He has wonderful touch. Is he Nicklas Backstrom in that regard? We could debate that. But the more you see the Caps, you'd sit there as a penalty-killing coach and go, okay, these are the things we need to do. These are the things we need to take away. And then it's just punch, counterpunch. It's just like every other sport.
Yeah.
What adjustments are you going to make? The Caps are trying to get more motion into their power play. I'm thrilled they got some results last night. I hope that those will continue again. But the more consistently you can get that diversity in scoring, the better. You don't want to just lean on two or three different bell cows. You want it to come from different players, all four lines. Add in the defense. Last year's defense core for the Caps was incredibly high scoring. I want to say it's the first time ever they had six defenders who finished the year with more than 20-plus points. That's the kind of production you need. Carlson and Chychrun are going to lead that parade.
The great Joe Beninati with us. He was on the call for Alex Ovechkin and the Caps. 6-1 win last night. Goal number 900. Give me a... On Alex, I mean, obviously we heard 895 coming in and that was such a tremendous goal. And I hear it almost every day on Monumental in some way, shape or form. And I love it each and every time you've been on the call for so many of these history milestones. You know, this might have been the last major milestone he gets to. I don't know. What was that like? I don't know. It was a hustle goal because they had to work the puck, and I think he had a backhand shot before that, if I'm remembering. And then obviously the backhand goal, to finish it off and to get 900.
He nearly made the takeaway on the netminder Binnington to begin with.
Yeah.
Then it cycled back out for Chychrun, who just missed, and for Alex to shoot that one backhanded, spinning the way he did, an unusual delivery. I think if you put that same play in motion throughout 21 seasons of Ovechkin's career, he more than likely goes on the forehand, takes it below the goal line, and tries to make a pass. In that instance last night, he was inclined to make a twisting backhand shot. He called it a muffin because it didn't have a lot of pace on it, but it was incredibly well placed to beat a goalie of Binnington's ability level on the short side there. That was a heck of a shot. to score your 900 in that way, but it's so unusual. And that 895 was a classic Ovechkin goal. 900 was a unique-looking one. They all count. They all mean as much to him, I'm sure, from top to bottom. He spoiled us, Chris. Come on. For 21 seasons, it's been a joyride with this guy, and he's helped us be very well-practiced in the big moments. At least I'll speak for myself in saying that when you come to the rink knowing that there's a 100, 200, 300, 400, 500, 600, 700, 800, 900 possibility, 895 possibility, you come to the rink as an announcer very much with your senses heightened. Your focus is alert. And you're coming to the rink knowing that this is the possibility of a very, very special historical night. And he's helped me become that much more practiced at it. And as a group, our Monumental Sports Network group, top to bottom, it's not just about Joe and Craig and Alan and Alexa and all the people that you see with microphones attached to their heads. It's all about the photographers who've covered him for 21 years. Mm-hmm. It's the graphics guys, the sound guys. We've had the ability to chronicle this amazing, amazing story. And touch wood, we've been there for some of his biggest and best moments, the vast majority of them. And I never, ever take them for granted. But I can thank him from the bottom of my heart for all of those opportunities because as a group, he makes us better. You better be on your P's and Q's because tonight's another magical night. The possibility is always there with this player. What's he going to do today that's going to challenge your power of description?
Yeah, no doubt
that's
about it.
That's a pretty cool thing for a power play guy, for a play-by-play guy
sure.
to have.
Sure, love it. Joe Beninati, the television voice of the Washington Capitals for Monumental, is with us from Pittsburgh. He was on the call for goal number 900 and a Caps win over the Blues last night. Tonight, the Caps in Pittsburgh for Sidney Crosby and the Penguins. And Joe, before we run out of time, I think I read this is the 99th meeting between these two. You know, I mentioned earlier, like, Alex getting the Stanley Cup in 2018, I think, is enough. But do you think when history looks back on these two, because Sid won three, that even though Alex was far healthier and far better goal scorer, that they will, I don't know if the right way to say separate these two, or will they just be equally considered icons of our of this game?
It's a great debate. And if you want to piss people off and you want to get into a bar brawl, just sit down and say, who's the better player?
Yeah.
And then watch out because right. the fists are going to fly.
Right.
It's really hard for me to do so because they play different positions.
Right. We know we know they're different players, different situations, different teams,
that's,
everything.
Yeah, that's what makes it incredibly right. difficult for me. But all I will say is, and I continue to go back to this because, again, blessed to be a part of their arrival into the league. In 2005 and 6, coming out of an NHL work stoppage, a complete lockout, a complete lost season, and heaped upon these two young men's shoulders are the, hey, come on out and save the NHL
yeah,
for us.
Yeah.
And what amazing ambassadors they've been for the last two decades. That's what I'm going to remember. These are generational players, both of them, and they will not come along very often, and they will not achieve to the level that both of them have. If you're going to come down to straight Stanley Cups and all of that, again, you want to get into a bar brawl, just start the conversation. But to me, I will forever remember them at the same time coming into the league. I don't know if they're going to leave the league at the same time, but my memories of them will be they made such an enormous, lasting impact upon the league when the pressure was on, when they were just a teenager and a 20-year-old come in and deliver to the levels that they've done. Mm-hmm. Fabulous. I mean, just amazing.
Joe, before we let you go, and you're so kind as always, Joe Beninati, the great television voice of the Washington Capitals for Monumental, joining us from Pittsburgh, where the Capitals will take on the Penguins tonight at 7:30. This is just the beginning of a really crucial grind here. Saturday night, you guys will have the call in Tampa. We know what the Bolts have done over the years. Then you got to go to Carolina and Raleigh for Tuesday, and then finish it up with, oh, by the way, the defending two-time Stanley Cup champions in Sunrise, the Florida Panthers. And I know they're not the same team without Barkov and without Tkachuk, but this is, I mean, this is a grind. When the NHL put this schedule, they put the Capitals in a meat grinder and just chewed them up in this four-game stretch.
Chris, you come home and you get the New Jersey Devils.
Ah, I forgot about them, yes.
I mean, you didn't forget. It's just that that's what it looks like. For the road stretch,
right.
You just itemize the road stretch. Well, you know, Joe, and you know, Chris, the most typical game is the first game back after a long road trip. Oh, who are you playing?
Yeah.
In New Jersey?
Oh, you're right.
Oh, good.
You're right.
It's an amazing stretch. It's another reason why you had to have that one last night from a confidence standpoint. They got the job done. Now, build on that. Let's see what you do against a Pittsburgh team that's dealing with its own injury concerns. A Pittsburgh team that's headed to Sweden next week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, maybe they'll be distracted, but whenever these two teams collide, they usually bring the best out of each other. Washington's had good success here recently in the regular season. I hope that that will continue tonight, but Crosby is scoring a lot of goals, and especially on the power play. Malkin is generating a lot of assists all of a sudden and generating more and more offense, and it's a renaissance. It's a rebirth for those guys to some degree after recent seasons when they've fallen off. Former Cap Anthony Mantha is a handful again for this Pittsburgh team now. And the guy you always have to watch out for, the first person when I do my homework on a Caps-Penguins game when I'm allowed to do it, is Brian Rust. Rust is someone who is a fixture on the scoreboard against the Caps.
I agree. He's been a pain in the bippy for a long time. Joe, I love how you just dropped that in there. We're all looking for
I don't get very many
Jimmy.
Of them, Chris.
I know.
I don't get very many of them.
I know. I feel bad for you. You know, we've talked off the air, so we won't leave. You know, we won't say any more than that. But listen, you know, you are going to have a great – I know this. Despite being denied tonight, you're going to have a great call on Saturday night in Tampa and then the rest of the road trip. So I know we'll get, once again, our hopefully nightly dose of a Locker and Joe B. Thank you so much for making time for us. Enjoy the game tonight in a different capacity, but at least you got to call 900 last night, and that matters the most. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate you.
My pleasure, Chris. Feeling really good. We'll catch up soon.
Absolutely. Sounds good. Safe travels to Joe Beninati and the Capitals. Again, you can hear the game, 106.7 The Fan with John Walton and friends coming up tonight, 7:30, 7:15 puck drop. Or I should say 7:15 pregame on 106.7 The Fan in the Odyssey app. You can hear and see Joe B. and Locker back on the television call on Saturday night in Tampa for the Lightning. All right, we come back, wrap things up. Dumb of the day. And here's where we're going to go with this. A big old party on Long Island. And now lots of people are going to have to pay the piper. That's next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. I agree.
Jermaine Jagr did it, right? Jermaine Jagr did it. I think he played for like 15 teams. Yami Jagr, however you say his name. You can laugh at me. I'm sorry. But,
Oh, no. We're not going to give Jason and Laurel the Dumb Dumb of the Day award because he couldn't say Jaimeer Jagr or Mick Jagr or Jaromir Jagr. No. We couldn't do such a thing. I love Jason. But we couldn't resist poking a little fun. Jaimeer Jagr is still playing at like 53 years old in the Czech Republic. Who knew? All right. The real dumb of the day is this. Homeowners in Dix Hills, New York, Long Island, Strong Island, baby. Been to Dix Hills a time or two. Philip Baccarella and Rita Baccarella, both 51 years old. They own a home. It's a standard Long Island-ish, old-looking home. Nothing special. But they say it's in a posh inlet in Dix Hills, Long Island. Well, they were busted for hosting an underage drinking Halloween fest that unfortunately ended with two 16-year-old girls that got sick from alcohol poisoning, according to Suffolk County, New York police. Now, you might be asking, well, surely they didn't know. They weren't there. Cops say cops didn't say, according to the write-up in the New York Post, if the couple, the married couple, the owners of the home, were home at the time of the party. But the party was advertised on social media, and there was a claim that more than 500 people were attending. The party was so large, so huge, that there was a party tent and portable toilets. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know about anything. But how many teenagers have money and foresight and thinking to have portable toilets and a party tent at their parents' home for a Halloween party that is advertised on social media that apparently had over 500 people at? I don't know. So there were, according to officers, at about 9:40 on Friday night, Halloween night, several hundred teenagers at the house and in the surrounding neighborhood. The two teenagers who didn't live at the home, they were taken for treatment to a local hospital. The homeowners were arrested under the county's social host law. They're charged with allowing consumption of alcohol by minors, endangering the welfare of a child. They were given desk appearance tickets, and they're due back in court on November the 20th. Happy Halloween to these two clowns.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Could you imagine? We don't know if their kids were home. We don't know any of those details according to the story. So, listen, you can't be out. You can't be. I don't care who did it. You can't be that out to lunch. You can't be that out to lunch. You can't be that unaware. What an absolute show by those two dum-dums. Oh, all right. Thanks to Joe Beninati for joining us live from Pittsburgh. If you missed that, hit the Odyssey Rewind or the podcast after the show. You can get every day, every show, every hour, every segment. And I know a bunch of you are out there listening because I got some good news. I can't share it on the radio, but I got some good news. I know you're listening. Keep listening live, on replay, on demand, whenever you want. Keep listening. Keep spreading the word. I appreciate you. AMAC appreciates you. And I appreciate AMAC. Have a good weekend. I'll talk to you on Monday before I leave for Barcelona and Madrid. That's right. Show will be a little bit different starting next Tuesday. Thanks, everybody, for being a part of this show. Lynell Willingham, B&G Today is next. Stay tuned for that.
Thank you. Yeah, you can go sit down, Russo. Goodbye.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.